Today on Real Life Radio.
Our unity is not based upon, well, just have unity. It's impossible. That's why Bible doctrine is essential. You must speak the truth in love, and that's what will unite God's people. It's not for us to unite people. It's for us to present the truth.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Relevant Christian, Part 5, continues in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. Paul wrote this epistle to the church at Philippi during his imprisonment in Rome. The Apostle Paul understood the importance of the local church. Any local church standing and striving together in truth cannot be defeated by Satan. When Christians have a bond of peace through the power of the Holy Spirit, the faith of the gospel message spreads. As ambassadors for Christ, having one mind and one purpose, Christians can offer the good news of God's salvation to a lost and hostile world. Today, Pastor Jack asks us if we're speaking the truth with love and have a concern for others. Does our conduct line up with sound biblical doctrine? Are we, as believers, contending for our faith by advancing the gospel message? And are we fully engaged in our battle against our adversary, the devil? And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Listen, when you go to your work, when you go to the place of communion, so to speak, that you have in the world, the offices, you're there at least 8 hours a day. What's the deal? You are bringing Christ to them. You're very sensitive that you bring a witness of Christ to them, and it's all rooted in love. You don't compromise in sin to try to bring the world to Christ. God will never honor your witness. Well, you know, I had to become like the world, you know, that some could come to Christ. Baloney is the Greek word for that. That's not what he's talking about. That would be wrong. He says in verse 27, so that whether I come and see you or absent, that I may hear of your affairs. This is a great word. The word affairs means everything that is involved in living life. Nothing too big, nothing too small. And that's the nature of our God. He knows when sparrows fall to the ground. And he knows, and Paul is saying that as Christians, we ought to live a life in such a way, and big things and small things, all the time, that we're concerned about our witness for Christ. And he says that we would stand fast. This is an awesome word. It means to stand stationary like you're bolted to the ground, to be set into position. He goes on that you, number one, stand fast in one spirit. Listen to the unity in this. And with one mind. And here's the second argument. So standing fast is the first. And the second one is striving together. What for? For the faith of the gospel. So as Christians, we're to be very firm about doctrine. And we are to be striving together. Notice, striving together. The picture is two ox yoked up together, pulling together. That's what we're supposed to be doing as a ministry, as a church. Us, you and I together. We are to be linked arm in arm. Listen, with all of our various human differences, short, tall, whatever status, doesn't matter. All that goes out the window, and we link up arm in arm, and we go together for the faith of the gospel, to propagate the faith of the gospel. We're moving together so that others might hear that God loves them too. And not only do they hear it, but they see us doing it. Listen, if there's ever a revival and the church gets hot in love with Jesus, you will not have to tell people to come and visit your church. Your friends will hear about it. Your friends are going to say, you know what? I'm going to go see what's going on there. Because there'll be a divine move of the Spirit through the lives of his people, and our changed lives will become so attractive to a lost world. They'll beat the door down to get in here. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4, verse 3. Ephesians 4, 3. It says for us to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What does that mean? Endeavoring. The word means to sweat. Christians are to be sweating to keep unity. Okay, y'all sitting down? Listen. It doesn't take long or much for you to search out in what I'll call Christianese. It's a language that's spoken. Christianese. And one of the words you'll see is the word unity. Unity. Let's come together. Let's be united. And it sounds great. Listen. It sounds great, but listen, you never put the cart in front of the horse. Unity, the Bible says, is wonderful. God says how beautiful it is that the brethren dwell together in unity. But he said it's how beautiful it is that the who? Brethren. Yes, brethren. What makes us brothers and sisters in Christ? It's not unity, ladies and gentlemen. That would be putting the cart in front of the horse. Oh, let's just be united. Listen, I'm going to upset some of you. I don't mean to, but listen, you need this. You need this. Let's just get along. Can't we have peace? We all need to practice tolerance. Let's think a happy thought. What's some of these? You know what I'm saying? Those are very, very wonderful things if. Let's say I'm going to lose some of you right now. So what if? You mean it's conditional? Absolutely conditional. You cannot be tolerant of all things. I want you to think about that for a moment. I enjoy meeting up with people who don't believe in God. It's a lot of fun. If you're not, listen, if you live in a Christian bubble, you need to break it. You need to get out there, live it up. You need to live it up, because here's how it goes. Talk to unbelievers. And I particularly enjoy what really is really pumped out of Hollywood a lot. Now, we pick on Hollywood a lot, and we should, because it deserves it. But Hollywood says things like this. You know, if it feels good, do it. Boy, stop them. Don't let them get away with that. Don't let your neighbor or your relative or your... Don't let them get away with that. Ask them, if what feels good, do it. Make them think. That's the first step in your mission, is to get them to think. What do you mean? What do you mean if it feels good to... What is it? If it feels... What is it? Oh, whatever you like. Whatever you like. Now, you think about this. Pause right there. Think of the Ten Commandments. Because the world hates the Ten Commandments. Let's just get them out of all courtroom, get them out of the school. We got to get the Ten Commandments out of school. Because kids will think it's wrong to murder one another if they have the Ten Commandments there. We got to get that out of there so they can just bring guns in, shoot them up, and if they can't find a gun, they'll use a rock. But just get the Ten Commandments out, because it makes people feel uncomfortable. So you've got this righteous declaration by God, but then you've got a world saying, if it feels good. Existentialism, humanism. So what that means is, if there's no absolutes, because if you start talking about, well, we've got to be tolerant of everything, then you've got to be tolerant of the man who now takes advantage of the new law and goes into the girl's shower. You can't criticize him. You see? Because to him, that feels good. That's not wrong. Where do you draw the line? Someone beat someone to death. Why did you do that? Listen, why did you do that? It felt good. I just got out of class and I learned that I am an evolutionary byproduct of evolution. I'm an animal. You have no right to tell me that I can't beat someone to death because I'm an animal. Are you with me? How can you impose upon an animal morality? You can't do it. So the world says we want to do what we want to do. But inside there's a witness that deals with them. There's a witness that is saying this is wrong. And listen, you'll drug yourself up or you'll do whatever it is to the point where you no longer hear that voice, because you will fulfill what feels good to you. And yet there's a natural law that fights against that, because your position is false, God's position is true. And tolerance goes out the window really quick. Ladies and gentlemen, it may be too late, but Europe has woken up to its issue. Okay? It's too late, but it has awakened to the damages of political correctness. Europe is destroyed, if not because of the wrong use or terminology of tolerance. So here's the deal. To be united means this. You cannot have any unity in any aspect whatsoever in any playing field without, in our context, doctrine. If you're a business owner and you guys have a project and your project is a turbocharged, this or that, everybody on your team believes in your turbocharged this and that, right? And that's why they're on your team, and that's why you're working together around the clock to get that thing out of the door because you believe in it, okay? That would be your doctrine. Maybe, look, there's a lot of people running for president. They have their doctrine. Are you with me? And they're committed to it, and they want people around them committed to it. Listen, people will overlook personalities. People will overlook all kinds of things because it's the doctrine or the mission that surrounds or glues them together. Are you with me? Our unity is not based upon, well, just have unity. It's impossible. That's why Bible doctrine is essential. You must speak the truth in love, and that's what will unite God's people. It's not for us to unite people. It's for us to present the truth. And you let it go, and what happens is God's people will gather to the truth like a moth to the light. But the moment we divorce ourselves from doctrine and we create a church that is all-inclusive, what does that mean? Really, I'll tell you what it truly means. All-inclusive means we're all a bunch of sinners here. That's what it means. And we need to repent of our sins and follow Jesus Christ who loves us. We need to get away from this world that we've created. He'll talk more about this in our closing. In Jude chapter 3, the Bible says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints." Doctrine, Bible doctrine. So you want to stop and ask yourself right now, Christian, do you know what you believe? Can you articulate it? I'm a firm believer that you cannot know what you really believe unless you can articulate it, say it. So I want to ask you, for all of us, me included, all of us, stop and ask yourself, am I contending for the faith like that? Am I contending? I am to be concerned about my witness. I'm to be contending for the faith. I'm to be endeavoring to keep the unity of the fellowship together. We are as believers. So the question is put to me, am I contending for the faith? And that's convicting. Am I fighting and advancing the good news of Jesus, the gospel? 2 Corinthians 5, regarding this, 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us, and this is an amazing word. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Now then we are ambassadors." You ought to circle the word ambassadors in 2 Corinthians 5:20 for this reason. "For Christ, as though God were pleading through us, that is to a world, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." The word ambassadors here in 2 Corinthians 5 is an amazing word for ambassador. There are ambassadors, like we have an ambassador for the United States in Canada. Do you think that's a real stressful job? I mean, I think it'd be a great job. I love Canada for one thing, but if you're the ambassador for the United States in Canada, that's cool. But can you imagine being the ambassador for the United States in Syria right now? Can you imagine being an ambassador for the United States in where? Russia right now? It's kind of dicey. I mean, you name it, right? Kenya or Sudan? You don't drive around in your motorcade with American flags on your car in those countries. You get blown up. Are you with me? Guess what? There's a word ambassador that's used, an ambassador for the U.S. to Canada, and it's a peaceful ambassadorship. It's a peaceful relationship, no problems. And then there's a different word in the Greek language for ambassador, if the United States had an ambassador to Syria, and that is to be an ambassador in a violent, hostile land. It means you're constantly on guard because someone's out to get you. Are you with me, everybody? Take a guess, one guess, you only get one guess. Which word do you think is the word that's ambassador here in 2 Corinthians 5? Exactly, the hostile one. The Bible now tells us that as Christians, we are being deployed as ambassadors into a hostile world. C.S. Lewis put it so well. C.S. Lewis said that we have, as believers, we are now with Christ because Jesus, when he came, listen, landed in enemy-occupied territory. And Jesus has been advancing the gospel, and Christians have been gathering, Christ followers have been gathering to him. Watch. And Lewis talks about how we too now, having been converted to Christ, we are his ambassadors, and we are marching forward. Watch, this is our warfare. We're marching forward very, very carefully because we are, we've landed on enemy-occupied territory, meaning Satan is and his emissaries work this globe. We're here now. Think of special ops, right? We're all special op guys, and we're like this, you know. And what are you? Christian? I'm a Christian. What do you mean? Well, this is my Bible, right? And these are the implements of our warfare, which are not carnal, but spiritual. And this is the armament. I'm suited up. I got the helmet of salvation. What's your goal? What's your strategy in this? Thank you for asking. We are tiptoeing around this hostile world, looking for men and women and boys and girls to give them hope, to give them life. Because you know what? The enemy has taken this territory and he's killing people. He's blinding them and destroying them. And we are following in the footsteps of our commander, our chief, who said the enemy has come to rob and to kill and destroy. But we with him have come to give life. We watch it. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. And for that, Paul would say, we're united. Because it's all about him. It's a powerful truth. And then listen, resilient. Look at verse 28. Resilient against a world that is condemned. Wow. A relevant Christian is resilient against a lost world. And we know this. It has no answers. The world cannot answer your spiritual quest, your spiritual hunger. That's why it's got to do with the drugs, sex, and all that stuff it's got to do. It's just looking for meaning. But it can't answer you. And secondly, we are resilient against a world that's condemned. This world's condemned. I mean, I know this is a shocker, and you just came off the holidays, and it's early and a beautiful day. It's all condemned. God says it's condemned. And we know it's condemned. Watch. And not in any way, verse 28, terrified. Circle the word terrified. By your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. Wow, what's he saying? Mark this, and not in any way. This is a fun statement. The word actually means in the original Greek language, no way, not ever, not going to happen. It's a super double negative on this. It's awesome. Look, he's saying the relevant Christian understands that he's resilient against a lost world because the truth of the matter is there is no way, ain't going to happen, never is this going to prevail against us, that we'll be terrified by our adversaries. It's not going to happen. The Holy Spirit won't allow it. But what does that mean? We won't be moved or scared against the world's threats or attacks or influences, trends, or policies. This is important. Because for you and I, this sounds so foreign to us. I just saw on the news this week, maybe you saw it as well, it was one of the big news channels. Interviewing a terrorist expert. And he said, let me tell you why the world is scared. And he went on talking, and I got where he was coming from, but that's not the reason why the world is scared. The reason why the world is scared is because it cannot identify the fact that there are spiritual invisible powers now in play. And the believer knows this. Jesus says, don't be afraid of those in the world who can take your life. That's nothing, he said. But rather be in awe, fear God, who can take both your life and even throw you into hell. Wow. We get too fixed on the temporal. There's a lot more nasty going on behind the scenes. It's a world condemned. And the word terrified here is an amazing word. I love this word. You guys check this out. The word terrified, it is the word that describes the rare and unusual flinching or hesitation of a horse going into battle. I love that. Listen, you guys, a horse goes to battle. Did you know that a horse will run to battle? The nose, by the way, of a horse, the nostrils, it's weird. When there's a battle, swords, bombs, guns, the horse's nostrils intensely get large, the horse's eyes get big, and right at that, you might say, well, so do mine. My nose, at those things, my nose gets big and my eyes get big. Yeah, but the difference is the horse runs in toward the battle. We would tend to run away from the battle. A horse, if you're on the horse, you're going to the battle. It's awesome. Boom, or clanging of swords, and the horse goes, yeah, let's do this. Isn't that amazing? Look at that word now. That word tells us you don't need to be terrified. But listen, the word means in a rare, unusual case, a horse would hesitate going to battle. The word is don't hesitate. In the face of the world, Christian, you don't need to hesitate. Right now, the world, even the Christian, is under the yoke of fear. So many people gripped by fear. And to some degree, I should say, all of us have some form of a poison of fear in us. I talked to a school teacher recently that really wanted to take a stand for what's right. And they told me, and maybe this is your life as well. The school teacher told me, if I take a stand for what Jesus wants me to stand for on this, the union will come against me. I'll lose my retirement. I'll lose it all. That's scary. Sin works like that. The world is condemned. That's why it's acting like it's acting. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, stop blaming God and don't let anybody get away with blaming God anymore for the condition of this world. I'm sick of it. Well, if your God is a God of love, then how come? Stop right there. The Bible says this world is as it is because man rejected God. We are reaping what generations have sown.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Relevant Christian. Thanks for listening today. Our hope is that you have discovered how God's presence brings joy and comfort into every situation. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
I'm always excited to get into the same room with my friend and my pastor, Pastor Jack Hibbs. Hey, I have to know about our book of the month, and I want to hear it straight from you. Tell me about Turnaround at Home.
One word, personal.
Yeah, no kidding.
This is a book that Lisa and I wrote. It's very personal, and we're very happy to announce, by the way, that the Turnaround at Home book was the last book that Pastor Chuck Smith wrote an acknowledgement
for. Is that a fact?
Or the foreword.
Yeah.
He actually wrote the foreword, and so we're happy about that. But the book talks about marriage dynamics, difficulties, strengths, and how to change things that you think are going to destroy your marriage. How do you turn those things around to actually make them stronger points? So thus the book, Turnaround at Home.
And this is the book of the month for January, Turnaround at Home by Jack and Lisa Hibbs. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.